If you got a handout, as you got your prayer bulletin tonight, there's some blanks in that if you care to follow along. And trust that'll be a blessing to you this evening. But the Bible says, Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 28. And I'm going to read it, and we probably won't think much about it because I didn't either until studying for this. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. We say, well, there's much in there, and certainly there is, but the part or the aspect I'd like to draw your attention to and is this, and then I'll make a few statements of prayer requests, and then we'll pray and then get right into it. The part I'd like to draw your attention to is this, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, and perhaps until you came in tonight, because I think about the same thing happened to me, until you came in tonight, maybe you don't think about the wonderful privilege and honor and blessing that it is to get to know God. We understand how He's the all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing God, and He's not one that can't be touched, the Bible says. He's not one that can't be reached out to. He's a God that we can know, and so much so that Adam and Eve, as He created them here, the Bible says that He told them several things, replenish the earth and all those, but before that, even the most basics of aspects of this verse, God said unto them. And so it's not a God that just created us and probably, like I think, like we would have done and said that that's a creation that I've made down there. I don't need to have anything to do with them. We are His servants. We're certainly glad to be that. But they're my servants. And very likely we would have just cut off we wouldn't have cut off communication. We wouldn't have established it. But God, the creator of this world, God, the all-powerful, almighty one, made it so that we could know Him as we go throughout this life. Didn't make us like ants that just crawl on His earth, but made us so that we could know Him. And I hope that before the night's over, we'll really allow it to sink down in how much of a privilege it is to be able to have a relationship with God. Now, I'm going to pray in just a minute, and I want to share a couple of requests that I failed to earlier. I want you to be praying, of course, for our nation, that the Lord would, I pray that the Lord forgives us for our sins and that He would bless us and draw us to Himself. But I want you to be praying tomorrow. Miss Nancy Hall will have surgery on her arm. She fell the other night and broke her arm in a couple places. So Rick's taking her to the hospital or to the orthopedic tomorrow, and they'll be having surgery. And so please keep her in your prayers. Brother Butch Abbott has cataract surgery on the other eye tomorrow. He had one 2 weeks ago tomorrow, so talked to him a little bit ago and prayed with him. So you'd be praying that that will go well. And we're praying for Cassandra Cutshaw. She's got another biopsy at Duke on August 25th. And so here next week sometime, so you keep her in your prayers if you would please. And we're continuing to pray for Laura Moore. She's at home, but we just need the Lord to lift her spirits and bless her and strengthen her. And then I want you to continue to pray for Miss Tracy Scroggs as just with eye issues. And I want you to keep her in your prayers and want you to pray for Miss Summer that they've got some big things coming up with doctors and pool of doctors. And so I want you to be keeping both of these ladies in your prayers. And so for that, plus the message tonight, the Bible study, we'll go to the Lord in prayer and then get right into this is something I'm excited about tonight. And that is the aspect of each of us, God's creation, are able to know Him. Father, bless us is our prayer. I ask You, Lord, to be with us now. And we pray for the requests that were made known, dear Lord. Many of them we didn't make known, and so thankful to have the Pippins here with us, dear Lord, and just hear a little bit about their ministry. But Lord, we pray for Brother Butch Abbott as he has this next procedure tomorrow. I pray that it goes extremely well, dear Lord. Bless him. Heal him up quickly after that. I pray for Miss Hall that you'd bless Nancy, and I pray that surgery goes well. and she'd have a quick recuperation. I pray for Miss Summer that you give these doctors, this group of them, great, great wisdom, dear Lord, and let them know what they ought to do with this kidney issue. And I pray for Miss Tracy as well. Lord, you just give the doctors great wisdom and insight, and we'll thank you for what you do. I pray for Miss Debbie Deacons, Lord, that the platelet count would remain high so that she doesn't have to have treatments, dear Lord. Bless her in that. Bless Miss Laura Moore. Pray that you bless Miss Pat Scalf as she continues to recover after surgery here last week, dear Lord. Bless her in a special way. And Cassandra, she has another biopsy here coming up next week. Pray that the doctors would get good wisdom and, Lord, you'd give a good report. And we'll thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got listed on the top of your sheet, if you look, I believe it is, John chapter 14. You don't have to turn there. It's that passage where Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And then Thomas says, Lord, how shall we know the way? And how can we know thee? And so it's been a cry in the New Testament. It's been a cry in the Old Testament for people to know the Lord. Now, me, I grew up in West Virginia, and I've been in church all my life, and it's been easy for me because I've always had Sunday school teachers that were telling me that Jesus wants to know you. He wants to hear your prayers. He wants to hear you pray and trust Him as Savior. But then after that, I've been preached to, and I've been taught, and I've been instructed to pray because God wants to have this fellowship and relationship with you. But tonight, as we look at the basics of that, I want you to think about this for just a little while. We get to have a relationship with God. Now, we've got so probably lazy in our Christian walk that we need somebody to come along and nudge us or encourage us. Hey, why don't you pray? Why don't you get on your knees? Why don't you have a time with God in prayer? Why don't you do this? We've gotten to a place where we're spiritually lazy and we need somebody to encourage us to do that. But I was thinking, as Brother Pippins was up here, and of course knowing what I was going to teach on tonight, I was thinking about this. There are people that are so steeped in religion that they pretty much don't have any idea, and they certainly don't live as though they do. They don't have any idea that there's a God that truly wants to hear from them. As he was talking about going to Sweden, he said, well, do you know any missionaries there? And I said, I don't. He said, hardly did I either until he started checking this out. And he said, atheism is off the charts there. And people that don't even believe in God, if they did come to a place where they believed in Him, they certainly would have a hard time thinking that He wanted to hear from them. My friend, you understand how blessed we are that we get an audience with the Creator of the universe? It's amazing to me. And so I want you to think about this as we continue on this series about God. We went through the Trinity and the different aspects. And I've taken some aspects or some parts of a book in my study that shows us this aspect of knowing God. And if you would, excuse me, let's see, I want you to turn to John chapter number 1, verse number 18. We'll begin there. I see, first of all, as we understand this idea of knowing God, you understand that there's religious yearnings in most everybody, even though they may not have an idea about God or an idea about how to get to Him. But one writer's put it this, our religious yearnings for God testify to us of wanting to know God. You look at the ancient writings in different different times, in caves, in different places where things have been archived or pictures have been taken. There's always this aspect of people trying to find the one in the sky. They don't know who he is. They don't know the aspects of him. They don't know all of that. But there's been in old ancient writings and pictorials and the like, there's been this aspect of trying to get to the one, whoever that one is up there. And so we understand that even our natural yearnings teach us that there's a desire for us to want to know God, and then He makes it possible. In John chapter 1, verse number 18, the Bible talks about no man having seen God at any time except we see the incarnation fix that. Let me find my place there in John chapter 1. The Bible says, as we look at John chapter 1, verse number 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So my friend, do you understand tonight how much of a blessing the Emmanuel is? As, again, I certainly didn't know he was going to be here, but Brother Pippin, there's a whole religious group that believes religion stopped before Emmanuel came, and they're waiting for their king to come back, but not realizing that God in the flesh already entered into this human race through a virgin's womb. And we understand that it's a great blessing that you and I get to enjoy. We get to engage in that our Savior, God Himself, came, and that teaches that God wants to have a relationship with us. The incarnation shows us that God wants to actively be engaged and involved in our lives. If you were growing up, or as you were growing up, you know that certain people, maybe your parents, maybe grandparents, maybe a lot of folks were too busy for you, but all the difference it made when somebody got into your life. Oh, they didn't take you to do what they wanted to do. They took you to do what you wanted to do. They engaged themselves. If you like soccer, they started liking soccer. And even though they didn't know much about it, they started learning and they started doing this. What does that show a young person as he's learning, as he's seeing his dad or his mom or his grandpa do that? He laughs maybe at their lack of knowledge, but he rejoices in their interest that they're showing in Him. And so what do we see when the incarnation, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. When the Savior, enrobed in human flesh, Jesus Christ, left heaven's glory and came, the incarnation gives us the platform, if you will, if you want to put it that way, of God, of us getting to know God. But then we see not only what is it that Jesus, while He was on the earth and as He was getting ready to go away, what does He give the promise of? He gives the promise of the Spirit. He says, if I don't go away, the Spirit won't come. He said, the Holy Spirit shall come, and He'll bring all things you remember. Look, if you will, at John chapter number 16. We see that not only does Jesus Christ, of course, come, the one part of the Trinity, but we also see that we see the promise of the Spirit, John chapter 16, verse number 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. There's different denominations that put a lot of emphasis on the Holy Spirit, and certainly we do. He's the third part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, we understand the Holy Spirit shows people the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. How did you get to Christ? Oh, you say, well, somebody told me about Jesus. Well, let's go back before that. How'd that person get to Jesus? Well, somebody told them. The Holy Spirit convicts and draws, the Bible says, of us, of our sin, lest we would even not know that we needed a Savior. And so not only did Christ come to the earth, but the Holy Spirit works and woos and challenges and convicts so that we can know God. My friend, I'm thinking by the looks on some of our faces, we're not getting it, because I don't know that I did it either, but we get the privilege of knowing the Creator God. We don't have a God that created us like a bunch of barnyard animals and kept us in pens and treated us like some possession. We've got a God that wants to fellowship with us. We'll get to it just a little bit when we go back to Genesis, when God was wanting to come and talk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. So we see, though, that the incarnation and the Spirit of God, that shows the platform. First of all, we see that God dwelt with us. But then secondly, we see the Holy Spirit gives us the truth. Because what is it that kept us from having a relationship with God? Our sin. Our sins have separated us from God. That's why we sinned against Him. Adam and Eve in the garden did. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death was passed upon all men. So we had something that kept us from having a relationship with God. We say, well, God's always there. Yes, He's always there. He's the Creator. But He wants to be more than just be there. He wants to be your Heavenly Father, and the incarnation was the way that Jesus entered into the world, yes, but the Spirit of God now convicts us of our sins to show us our need. When we get shown our need, He draws us, and we put our faith in Christ, and our sins are washed away so far as the east is from the west, and now God sees us as holy, and we have a relationship with Him. the platform is an awesome platform. But I want you to see not only the platform, but I want you to look at also the purpose that God gives it. Why did God make it possible? Of course, we've alluded to it because He wants to have a relationship with us. But why did He make the platform of the incarnation and then the Spirit of God to draw us? Yes, on us, obviously, to give us eternal life. In John chapter 17, it says this, that they might know Thee, the only true God. Why did Jesus say that He came into the world? To save sinners. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we understand that the purpose of God sending His Son Christ to the earth was to give us eternal life. But then also after we're saved, if you turn to 2 Peter toward the end of the, somewhere toward the end of the Old New Testament, have a trouble finding it, it's right beside 1 Peter, but it's 2 Peter chapter 3. That was a little joke there about being beside 1 Peter and 2 Peter. You understand? Just like 1, 2, 3 John, they all right in a row. That's as good as the jokes get tonight. I'll have one Sunday, but that's about all I've got for you tonight. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. So we see not only does the purpose of the purpose is eternal life, but then we also see that after that eternal life is given, and God, knowing Him, has got a purpose. God didn't just send Christ to come, His Son, to come down the cross so all of us could get heaven. I believe if that was the case, He would have just taken us home when He got saved. He'd yanked you up right then. Now He's got this desire, if you look at 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace. But while growing in grace, look at this verse if you're there. While growing in grace, you don't just grow in grace for the sake of growing in grace or just because you get to grow in grace, look at how you grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How'd you get saved? Jesus Christ. How do you grow in your faith? Jesus Christ. You say, well, it's the Word of God. Which one are you talking about? The written Word or the living Word? Because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so we understand that the purpose is, yes, eternal life, but then Christian growth. We grow by knowing Him. So everything in my Christian life is all wrapped up in Christ. That's the way I get in. That's the way I grow. And that's the way I'll get out of here. As He rose again, why stand you here gazing? The same Jesus shall come again, receive you under. So He's the way I got into faith. He's the way that I grow in my faith. And He's one of the days by faith He's going to take me out of here. He's the blessed hope. And so we see that growth, I gave you the last one there, the purpose of knowing God. Yes, to give us eternal life and to grow, but then also to warn of judgment. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number, I've got 26 and 27. Those are all of it's good, but I want to read you verse number 29. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God? And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. This is the warning section about drawing back if a certain fearful looking of judgment. Verse number 27, fiery indignation. We see here the aspect of drawing back in our faith and whatnot. But I want you to see specifically in verse number 29, what will hold a person guilty is when we stand before Him, because the Bible says every knee shall bow. Every atheist that Brother Pippins was talking about will one day acknowledge Christ, the same one that came to this earth to give you a relationship with Christ, God, the one that entered into humanity to give us a relationship with God. By that same name, everybody will name before they're cast into eternal damnation. So what is God's purpose in knowing Him? So He shows us eternal life. So He can grow in that Christian life. But then also so He can warn of judgment to come. Because our message to a lost and dying world is, accept Christ before it's eternally too late. So we see the platform and the purpose And then the last aspect of that is to realize this. I've heard all my life that people have this God-shaped vacuum in them. Now, you know as well as I do, you've watched people like I have, to know that we've tried to, people have filled that, tried to fill that with everything coming and going. Illegal substances, immoral relationships, ungodly things, and some not ungodly, just inappropriate and certainly not fulfilling. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse number 33, it shows us the other purpose that Jesus came to the earth and that God wants to have this relationship with us is so that it can generate, so that He can generate in us true worship. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, 33, "All the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The rich man Lazarus. Of course, we know that the rich man, he lived in complete luxury. And what was his plea after he was cast into hell? His plea was that his brothers wouldn't come to that place. And the cry to Father Abraham. I don't know how the lost people will forever in hell. I know many things about them as you do because the scriptures. But I believe it will forever be on their minds of the salvation that they rejected when they lived on this earth. And so God, the purpose of opening up a relationship with all of us is to give eternal life and then to warn of the judgment to come, but then also to generate true worship because this awesome God deserves to be worshiped by all of us. As Isaiah's seraphims cried, "Holy, holy, holy." And that's what we need to be, worshiping our God. Let me show you now the last one, the program that God gave for this knowledge of Him. It'll be a simple point here. But I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. We were in Genesis earlier, but I told you we'd come back and highlight just a little bit of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. God gave language. He gave language so that we could talk to Him. Now, God didn't need to give language for Himself because there's no language that is unknown to Him, be it a verbal language or just some language in nature or whatnot. But God gave us language. And God gave the language and then allowed Adam and Eve the ability to know that language. Verse number 8 says, And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves, because the sin had happened, you know, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I want you to take you back to the verse number 8 at the beginning. This must have been a normal experience, because Adam and Eve knew to hide. They obviously knew He was coming. And so this must have been a ritual. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. It's a beautiful picture of what God wants us to know, because here's God's creation. He created them in the image of, He created man in the image of Him, that ability to reason, that intelligence that He gave, so that He could have fellowship. And the program that God instituted to allow this knowledge of Him, did He have to let us know Him? He didn't. That's His prerogative. But He did. And He opened up the avenue of prayer. He gave the blessing of His Word so that you could read it. When I was ready for a preaching storm, I'd ask us how many of us have read much of it in the last 2 months or something, this word that he gave us to read, but or get on prayer as well. But he left us the avenue of talking to him through prayer, him talking to us through the Word of God. But in this particular instance, he was heard by Adam and Eve as he came through the garden. He allowed language to be understood by them. Of course, he could do whatever he wants. And God used that language to give us a program to show the beautiful picture of what he wanted. We could have all been mute. We could have all had some inability to hear from the Lord. We could have all been left without his word. We could have been left without the understanding, the ability to even read. But God's put all those things in place. And the program he puts forth is he gave language. And we're created in his image so that we have the ability to understand his awesomeness. I don't want to make anybody upset, but much like the animals that we might enjoy having, there I understand people treat them as parts of the family, and they love on them and keep them and take care of them, and that's all well and good. That's good. I'm certainly not putting that down. We have this little Yorkie that bothers the fire out of us too at our house, so I understand your love for those. That's good. But you understand God made us in his image, so that we could reason, and we have this intelligence, and we have this ability, this conscience, and we are able to know what it is to stand in his presence, and we understand what it is to be under conviction. And my friend, tonight, the intelligence, the reasoning power that God gave, and then you couple that, with the Holy Spirit that draws us and convicts us and shows us of our sin and shows us the need of a Savior. I remember, as many of you do, laying awake at night worried about my eternal destination, that I'd go to hell. How does that happen? Because the Holy Spirit's drawing, convicting, and showing your need and my need for a Savior. All because God wanted to know me. And he wanted to know you. I start off by saying that we might very well teach on something tonight that you hadn't thought about, and possibly I have. But tonight I want you to go home rejoicing and understanding just a little bit more that God wants to know us. He's not, I think I put it in the conclusion, that you can't know all about him. But he allows himself to be knowable, if that's even a word. He allows himself to be knowable so that we can engage in that with him. My friends, we are wonderfully blessed. Father, be with us now is our prayer. I pray this Bible study from another good man of God as well, many of the facts. I pray that it's been a blessing to us, dear Lord. And I pray if there's one person or several in this room that does not yet know you as their Savior, that you'd convict them right now, what I just taught about. You'd show them their need right now. And my friend, if you're listening to this, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and as the piano player gets over there, she'll start to play. If you're sitting here tonight and you know about the Lord, but you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are missing out on what God had designed for your life. You say, my life is good. I've got this and I've got the other. No, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are missing out on the most important aspect that God has for you. And that's for you to have a relationship with him. God did not plan on you living this life without him and then be cast off into hell. His plan for you is for you to believe on his Son, Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I beg of you that you'd come to the altar in just a moment. We stand and let somebody take a Bible and show you how heaven could be your home, that you could know God like I just talked about. If you're unsure about whether you have that or not, then somebody beside of you say, would you go down forward with me? I know they will. And my friend, if you're here and you're saved, I pray that you've taken inventory tonight. I pray that it hasn't been a waste of time in God's house on your behalf. I pray you've taken inventory tonight and say, oh my Lord, thank you for wanting to know me. Would you stand together with us as she continues to play? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come tonight. Maybe you're here and you're saved, You say, I never thought about it. What a blessing. What a blessed treasure I have in being able to know God. Oh, you won't know all about Him. Our little finite minds won't ever figure Him out. But we get to know Him. He's allowed that to happen. Friend, if you're a Christian tonight, you ought to be praising the Lord, thanking God that you can know Him. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, not sure that heaven's your home, would you step out to the closest aisle, come right down in front of the pulpit I preach from. There's somebody standing with the Bible. Would love to take it and show you how to be saved. If you're a lady, then a lady would do the same. Just show you from the pages of God's Word how you can know God. As she continues to play, whatever your need is on your heart tonight, would you come? Father, what a joy to be in your house tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to rejoice and revel in the fact that we get to know you. Lord, I pray that we would, this great relationship we have with you, that we would exercise it. We would hear from you through your pages of your word. We would talk to you through prayer. Bless us, Father, I pray. And we'll thank you for all of the things that you do in our life. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may look this way. Thank you for being in church tonight. And